Holy Spirit, take these words and speak to us through them, I ask in Jesus' name. Today, of course, is Mother's Day, and it's a day in which we honor all mothers, but especially in the church, we want to honor Christian mothers, because being a mother is a difficult task, and certainly one that is often misunderstood. There was a teacher who was teaching her third grade class about magnets, and she had finished the lesson, so later on she was going to give them a test. One of the questions of the test was this: my name starts with M, I have six letters, and I pick up things. What am I? And she was amazed that half of the class answered, instead of magnet, mother. Certainly, many of you mothers will identify with the 16-year-old daughter who saw her mother at the sink doing dishes on Mother's Day, and she was horrified by this, so she went up to her mother and she said, "Mother, you should not be doing dishes on Mother's Day." And her mother was just amazed that the daughter was willing to help, so she took off her apron and handed it to her. And the daughter said, "They'll keep until tomorrow, no problem." Well, mothers have always been important, and mothers in the Bible certainly are those that are honored women. Great stress is placed upon the influence of mothers. The most significant phrase related to mother is, "and his mother was." We see that in 20 times in the book of 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles. And it underlines the importance attached to the mothers of kings. Many of you saw part of or all of King Charles III's coronation. And if you thought much about it, you begin to realize that he was greatly influenced by his mother, and she prepared him for the role to which he has ascended at this time. Often the queen mother is more honored than the queen wife. Right after the names of the great queen mothers in the books of Kings and Chronicles, there usually occurs a phrase summarizing the spiritual and moral tone of the king's reign. It usually says something like this: "And the king did good in the sight of the Lord," or "the king did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord." The juxtaposition of the queen mother's name and the evaluation of her son's reign seems significant. The mother's influence is also stressed in Ezekiel 16, where appears the phrase, "As is the mother, so is her daughter." The love of children was deep in the hearts of Hebrew women, Hebrew men, and certainly the mother was regarded with the deepest of reverence. We find one of the earliest laws pertaining to mothers, and that is to honor your mother. Though the first book of the Bible depicts Eve as falling from the ideal of womanhood, she rose to the dream of her destiny as a wife and a mother. Paradise had been lost, she knew that, but maternal care was now born. In Eve, motherhood became the great sacrifice and a majestic service. She experienced the pain and agony of childbirth, the joys of new life, and then the heartbreak of a son gone bad. And yet she knew that God, who created all things, was still on his throne. In a few years, this was borne out by another birth to her, and that was the birth of Seth, which was to be the beginning of the lineage leading up to Jesus Christ. Hannah, another mother in the Bible, is a woman that personifies the ideal of motherhood in the Old Testament. Hannah was the mother of Samuel, the earliest of the great Hebrew prophets after Moses, and the last of the judges. Hannah's song of triumph was probably that which inspired Mary in her, what we call her Magnificat. Hannah is described as the mother of prayer. Prayer was important to her, but her environment was not conducive to prayer. Her husband Elkanah was a good but easygoing, undistinguished priest. And in those polygamous times, he and his other wife, Peninnah, had children while Hannah had none. But Hannah believed with all of her heart that God was the creator of children, and that only God could convert a woman into a mother. She would pray often for a child. Peninnah, jealous because Hannah was the favorite wife, made fun of Hannah because the Lord had shut up her womb. But it was greatly to Hannah's credit that she did not retaliate or seek revenge or lash out at Peninnah. She prayed constantly with a sense of humility, submission, and dependence on God. Her prayer was answered finally with the birth of Samuel, whose name means "asked of the Lord." So one quality of a truly great mother is that she is a woman of prayer. Another mother we'll look at stands apart from all other mothers in the Bible, of course, and that is the Virgin Mary, the mother of Jesus. In art, music, and literature, she had become the embodiment of all that was fine and noble in womanhood. Her greatness had humble beginnings. She was a peasant girl living in Nazareth. We see her life changed by an angelic visit. She had to suffer the pain, the shame, and the humiliation of being an unwed, pregnant woman. She then faced the obstacle of having to go to a different place than her normal town in order to give birth. She had to go to Bethlehem, where she ended up giving birth to Jesus Christ. From there, she and Joseph took Jesus down to Egypt, where they stayed for quite a while. Then they came back to Jerusalem, and they found that Jesus was missing for 3 days. She suffered the agony that all mothers know when you've lost a child, you can't find them. And so Mary then went on to continue to raise Jesus, to help him to grow up, to take care of him, to nurture him until she had to finally let him go to find himself in the Judean wilderness. When Jesus returned, Mary noticed that he was different. When he was at a wedding in Cana of Galilee, the wine had run out. So she said the immortal words, which were as true today as they were back then, "Do whatever he tells you." We know her heart was broken as some rejected him. Some of you mothers know what it's like to have a child who has been bullied, or a child that has been rejected in some way, or mistreated in some way. You know the helpless feeling that you have, not knowing what to do or how to resolve the situation. Well, certainly Mary was in that case as she saw her son mistreated. Her heart must have been ripped from her as he was arrested, cruelly beaten, and finally crucified. The grief must have been overwhelming as she had to walk with her son's body all the way to the tomb and see it placed in that tomb, having a stone rolled in front of the entrance. She was overjoyed when he rose from the dead, but her joy was really tempered not so much by her motherhood as it was by the realization that her son was in fact the divine Son of God. The world seems to know why Mary was called "Blessed are you among women." From Mary we learn the importance of letting go of our children when they grow up, and yet being there to support them when needed. And the reality that things don't always work out for our kids like we want them to is apparent to so many. And yet, we are called as Christians to trust in the Lord in the midst of things we can't understand. There are many examples of great mothers, not only in the Bible, but also in the pages of church history. A mother from the pages of church history that stands out is one woman named Monica. Monica was the mother of St. Augustine, and she had prayed constantly with tears for 18 years for her son to come to know Jesus. At that time, Augustine was living in all sorts of evil and perversion. Monica maintained a loving relationship with her family, even with her mother-in-law, who disliked her. She won her over by her patience and humility. With her husband, who was an irritable man, Monica exercised the same patience. When her friends marveled at her endurance with her husband's fury, she confided, quote, "In my husband's moments of violent temper, I held my peace, for I had learned that an angry husband should not be resisted either in deed or even in word. But as soon as he had become calm and tranquil again, I would quietly tell him my feelings and opinions." She eventually won her husband over to the Lord. Monica wept for Augustine, as he said, more than most mothers weep when their children die. Augustine's life was changed in the garden when he had reached the end of his rope, and he cried out, "How long, Lord, will you be angry forever? Why is there not an hour to an end to my uncleanness?" He heard the voice of a child singing in the garden, "Take up and read." He picked up a copy of the book of Romans and read these words: "Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies or drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature." Instantly, all of the gloom and doubt disappeared from him, And he went on to become one of the great saints in church history. Monica teaches us the importance of a gentle spirit, patience, and winning our family over with love and prayer. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention a modern-day mother that has done amazing things, and that's my wife, Nancy. She homeschooled our two daughters from the earliest ages all the way through high school. She taught them about Jesus. She shared with them scriptures that today have helped molded them. She has continued to give them help and advice whenever they're looking for it. And not only that, but she's had to live as a priest's wife for many years now. And that was a difficult task. She's always been so supportive of me during these 40 years of ordained ministry in which I've been involved. And so I'm eternally grateful to her, and I certainly want to honor her today on this Mother's Day. All these mothers I mentioned can not only inspire the mothers among us, but indeed can inspire all of us to follow Jesus' commandment to love one another and to seek the greater good of others. In conclusion, I want to share with you a tribute that I gave to my mother many years ago, and it's taken from a song by a guy by the name of Jimmy Dean, whom you might recognize as the Soft Sausage Guy. And Jimmy Dean wrote this song about his mother. And so I've kind of adapted it and kind of made it my own in the sense of applying it to my mother. And perhaps you might see something related to your mother or yourself in these words. It goes like this. You know, most people look at their wallets or their pocketbooks, and way down at the bottom, past the credit cards and baby pictures, you usually find a little dog-eared piece of poetry. I was cleaning out my wallet the other day and found a whole bunch of IOUs, some of them 30 years overdue. Funny thing is, all these IOUs are owed to one person. And I kind of feel like right now might be a pretty good time for an accounting. Mom, are you listening? Mom, I owe you for so many things. A lot of services rendered, like night watchman, for instance, for lying awake nights listening to coughs, cries, and creaking floorboards, and me coming in too late. You had an eye of an eagle and the roar of a lion, but you always had a heart as big as a house. I owe you for services as a short order cook, chef, baker, for making sirloin out of hamburger, turkey out of tuna fish, and three strapping boys out of leftovers. I owe you for cleaning services, for the daily scrubbing of face and ears, all work done by hand, and for the frequent dusting of a small boy's pants to try to make sure he led a spotless life. I owe you, and for the washing and ironing that no laundry could ever do, and for drying the tears of childhood and for ironing out the problems of growing up. I owe you for services as a bodyguard, for protecting me from the terrors of thunderstorms, nightmares, and too much candy. And Lord knows I owe you for medical attention, for nursing me through measles, mumps, bruises, bumps, splinters, and spring fever. And let's not forget medical advice either. Oh no, important things like, don't scratch it or it won't get well. If you cross your eyes, they're going to stick like that. And probably most importantly of all, be sure you have on clean underwear, boy, in case you get in an accident. I owe you for veterinarian services, for feeding every lost dog I dragged home at the end of a rope, and for the healing and the pains of puppy love. I owe you for entertainment. Entertainment that kept a household going during some pretty tough times. For wonderful productions at Christmas, 4th of July, and birthdays, and for making make-believe come true on a very limited budget. I owe you for construction work, for building kites, confidences, hopes, and dreams, and somehow you made them all touch the sky, and for cementing a family together so it could stand the worst kinds of shocks and blows, and for laying down a good foundation to build a life on. I owe you for carrying charges, for carrying me on your books for the necessities of life that a growing boy has just got to have. Things like PF Flyer tennis shoes and a slinky. And one thing I will never ever forget, where there were only 4 pieces of apple pie left and 5 hungry people, I noticed that you were the one who suddenly decided you really didn't like apple pie in the first place. These are just a few of the things for which payment is long overdue. The person I owe them to worked very cheap. She managed by simply doing without a whole lot of things that she needed herself. My IOUs add up to much more than I could ever hope to repay. But you know, the nicest thing about it all is that I know that she'll mark the entire bill paid in full for one kiss and four little words. Mom, I love you. Now, maybe you no longer have your mother alive or around. But that doesn't mean you can't still continue to share your love with her, to remind her and to affirm the love that you have for her. If your mother is still alive, of course, take that opportunity to tell her that you love her and make sure that she knows you appreciate all the things that you've done for her. Some of you may not feel like you've had such a good relationship with your mother, and maybe you're justified in those feelings. But I would encourage you to forgive your mother, because if you forgive your mother, then certainly you're going to be much better off in your life. Forgiveness is a decision I make to obey God and to walk as a lifestyle in a higher realm by not allowing someone else's actions or lack of action or attitudes to dictate my actions or attitudes. You'll never be whole until you get to that place of being able to forgive your mother or anyone else that you need to forgive, just as God has forgiven you in Christ Jesus. I believe we owe much more to our mothers than today we could ever repay, and today we give thanks to Almighty God for the gift and love of mothers. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of mothers. May we learn from many good examples of Christian living through mothers. Would you, as our gospel lesson reminds us, help us to abide in you so that we might reflect your light, love, and grace. As we connect to the true vine, Jesus, help us to produce the good fruit of repentance, righteousness, and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. May we follow the example of his sacrifice and the sacrifices so often made by mothers. All this we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord.